in all felt dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, and seeking your prayerful attention, I would direct you to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, considering verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The apostle, writing to the Corinthian church, would have them to know that Christ is all the glory. Now, no doubt, his thoughts here go to the beginning, to the work of creation. We read, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, and this is the first recorded part of God's word, where God speaks, and it is done. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. There was nothing there. The world was created by the mighty hand of God. We read that all was without form and void. God spake, and it was done. And the earth took shape. And out of that mass of darkness was the beginning of creation, the beginning of God's work here upon earth. Without help, but by his own divine power, God spake the word, and it was done. Now the Apostle Paul would bring this to the hearts of these Corinthians, but it is that same work, that same almighty power, put forth in the hearts of men, that brings about that new creation. That same power is needed. That same work must be done. For man has nothing in and of himself that can commend him to God. But all is darkness. And in one sense, it needs a mightier work by the hand of God to new create the soul of man than it did to create the world in the first place. You see, God spake the word. He commanded that there should be light, and there was light. And in all God's creation, he saw that it was good. But in the heart of man, was there anything there good to commend to God? What is the operation of God when he comes to the heart of man? What does the light reveal when it shines forth? When God created the world, he looked upon the world, and everything there was perfection. But when the Holy Spirit enlightens the heart of man, what does he see? What does the eye of man see when God begins that work? Does he see perfection? No. He sees a ruined mass of sin. He sees a blackness, a vileness. This is something that the world does not see. This is what the natural heart cannot see. For the natural heart is at enmity against God. It will not see. It cannot see. But when God, the Holy Spirit, begins, then he reveals to the heart of man what he is. He shows him a little of that which lies within. And but for the grace of God continuing in man, but for that work going on, man will be brought to utter despair. But what a mercy that God the Spirit does not leave us there. He who hath begun a good work in you shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. We cannot say that the Spirit of God has begun in our hearts unless we come to see something of the vileness of sin. Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a plague hast thou brought in. Has the Lord revealed thus far? Yes, it's easy in these days to say we are sinners and we receive Christ Jesus. But there is very little spoken of a mourning over sin, a grief because of sin. If we look back to the lives of some of God's dear people, reading their accounts, we find that with some of them, they went in a state where they were in bitter grief, sometimes for many months and sometimes even years. But the Lord never left one there. If he has begun, he will continue. And except we repent of sin and are brought to turn to Christ, then we cannot speak of the work of God in our hearts. We must know something of this. We know that God is sovereign in his ways. We know he deals with one in one way and another in another. But this general principle is true of all. Convince me of my sin, then lead to Jesus' blood. When light is given in the soul, then life has begun. Then there is a struggle against sin. For when we are in darkness, we know not what surrounds us. We know not what we have need of. we read that men love darkness more than light, because the deeds of the heart are all evil. A man does not want to receive this. He does not think himself to be as bad as he is. Man has a better opinion of himself than ever God will have in the day of judgment. And it's very often that we see in each other that which we do not see in ourselves. So then, have we that evidence that we are sinners in God's sight? Has the light been revealed sufficiently to show us what we are by nature? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. And why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the desire of the apostle that he should lead sinners to Christ. And here is the preaching of the gospel. Here is the purpose of the gospel being made known, that sinners might be brought to Christ. And as he commences by showing the creation of the world, so he would have these to understand how the Lord has worked through the process of time, how that the Old Testament also speaks of that light to come, of the glory of Christ to be revealed. For we read with Abraham that he believed in this promise, that he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But Abraham did not have that light, as we in this gospel day have that light. Now in the third chapter, which we read together, it speaks of Moses, the man of God, the man who God wonderfully used in bringing his people out of darkness into light, that one to whom the law was given, that law which is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now we must ever remember that in the law there was never intended to be salvation. The law could not save, in that it was weak. For the glory of that law was to be done away with. That law which was given unto Moses was for a time and was for a purpose, and to teach the children of God. But it was to teach them to look forward, to anticipate that day when the Messiah would come. And each Old Testament saint could only be saved in that he looked to Christ. Now we read, when Moses came from the mount, that his face shone His face shone so much, or that the people could not bear to look upon him, that he had to veil his face so that they could look to him. Here was the anticipated glory that was to come. But it was a light that could not be seen. When Moses himself sought the Lord, he said unto him, "Show me thy glory." And the Lord said unto Moses, "My glory can no man see and live. But there is a place in the cleft of the rock." And the Lord said that he would cover him with his hand while he passed by. And he would remove his hand so that he might see his back parts. Such is the glory of Christ. But it is a glory that can be seen. The glory of God as God cannot be looked upon. But we find through the history of the Old Testament, through especially the Psalms and the prophecies of Isaiah and others, that the glory of Christ is spoken of, that light which should come into the world, that light which should be manifested unto man, that glory which could be seen. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So said the prophet by the inspiration of God. He foresaw that day of Christ. And throughout the prophecies, until we find the New Testament day, and John preaching in the wilderness, "I am not that light, but I have come to bear witness of that light, which is the true light, which lighteth every man that believeth." John was bold in his speech. He would not be seen as that light, but he was the forerunner of that light which should enter into the world. And when Christ came, he declared himself to be the light of life, the light of the world, that light in which was no darkness. And the Apostle John, speaking of that light, could speak of the glory of that light which had come into the world. In him was life, and life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he goes on to say this: no man have seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. To shine out of darkness. We have many things that will keep us in darkness. And the apostle here shows us that man by nature is kept in darkness. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Then has the light of life entered into our hearts? Have we had a revelation of Jesus Christ? Have we seen him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and the truth? The apostle surely could speak of this. We have his account of his conversion on the Damascus Road, which he repeats and again, how that he was going about seeking whom he might hail into prison, doing the work of darkness. And yet we read on that journey, in the light of the midday sun, a more glorious light appeared unto him, a light which was far brighter, a light which outshone the glory of the sun. The light of God from heaven came upon him, and that light was not only manifest in an outward form, but was manifest into his very heart. He received the light of truth and the light of knowledge. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Has that question entered into our hearts? Who art thou, Lord? Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Make unto me salvation known. Make thy glory to appear. Enter into my heart and into my soul, that I might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Have shone into our hearts. Paul could boldly say this. He was a witness of that light. And if we know anything of the grace of God, then we can join with him. Yes, that light must enter into our hearts. And without the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ, then are we still in our sins? Then are we still a captive to the God of this world? Then all must remain darkness. But Paul could speak of that light entering into his heart. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And if that light enters into our hearts, it will make us subject to the mind and to the will of God. If we know him and the power of his resurrection, then will we be conformed unto his glory. For God, who commanded the light, and notice, it is a command. Man wants to do something to earn his salvation. He must, as it were, put his hand to the work. Surely he can do some little thing. Where was man when the world was created? Man was not there. And when that new creation begins in the heart and soul of man, man will not be there. He can have nothing to do with it. All is of grace. All is by the divine favour of God unto his people. Are we the Lord's? Are we called according to his purpose? For that light of the knowledge of the glory of God has shone into our hearts and made Christ Jesus known. Now we have no knowledge of the mind and will of God except we see it in Jesus Christ. Many today want to add to the scriptures. They want a revelation which is not according to truth. And some today speak of lights shining into their souls. And yet, what they describe is not in accordance with God's word. These are false lights. They do not give into the heart of man the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We must reject anything which is not according to truth. The word of God has been revealed. This word that we have before us has been preserved through countless generations, that we too might have that knowledge, that we might have that confidence, that that work of grace begun within is truly the work of God upon our souls. There are others who want the light, who want the knowledge of Scripture, but they are satisfied to have that light and that knowledge fixed upon their minds. This too we must reject. Because unless the word enters in, it will do us no good. Can you look back to that time before the Lord began? You could read the Word of God and you may have even learnt it in an academic way. But when the glory of God shone into your hearts, then the Scriptures were revealed to your minds, to your understanding, and most of all, to your heart. O Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We need the eyes of our minds, the eyes of our understanding, but most of all, the eyes of our hearts, that we might receive the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that we may walk in this life as lights in a dark place. And here also, the Apostle Paul would manifest his own office, that which the Lord had given unto him as an apostle of Jesus Christ, have shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the writings, we have the account of Paul's life. And when the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ had so shone in his heart, his desire was, according to the mind and will of God, that he should shed that light abroad in the hearts of others. Now we do not mean, and we would utterly reject, that Paul in and of his own strength could do anything. Although he was appointed to that high office, although he indeed was a mighty apostle, yet this work is of God. Nevertheless, the Lord hath appointed means. He hath sent forth his servants, that they might declare unto all men the Scriptures of salvation, that the earth might be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And in Paul's journeyings throughout the world, it was his earnest desire that this gospel and might be proclaimed. He was an evangelist, that he might make Christ Jesus known to all those to whom he preached. And we know that the church was established and strengthened and supported by the apostles preaching of the gospel. But not only was it made known in his preaching, but his life was a witness to the glorious gospel of Christ. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was his delight to preach Jesus. And so through the generations, and even till this present dark and evil day, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ has shone abroad, and the Lord has appointed his servants to take that light, that it may be manifested in the hearts of man. And it is under the preaching of the gospel that the Lord has especially blessed his own word. And when that word, by the grace of God, is made light and life into our souls, then there will be a receiving, there will be an entering in, and there will be a following of Christ. What a favour if this light has shone into our hearts. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But there is one other point which the Lord has laid upon my mind. We are called upon to walk in this world. We are called upon to be as a city set upon an hill which cannot be hid. We are not all called to be ministering servants. We're not all called to preach the gospel upon the walls of Zion. But every child of God is called upon to be a witness to that truth. But we live in a dark and evil day. We live in a day of trouble. A man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And the child of God in this sense is not protected from that day of trouble. And in our Christian life, in walking through this wilderness journey, we will at times come into dark places. In the providence of God, we will come to difficult times and seasons. Now this is well supported by the word of God. We have mentioned Abraham, and was not his a dark providence? The Lord gave him a promise that through his seed a mighty nation should be formed. And yet Sarah was without child. Dark places. But God shined in that darkness. And Sarah, when she was well past the age, bore a son. But you see, many think we have one trial and that is sufficient. He knoweth the way that we take. When he hath tried us, we shall come forth as gold. There came a time when Abraham was commanded by God to take his son, his only begotten son, and to sacrifice him upon the altar. And we read that early in the morning Abraham obeyed God and took his son Isaac, laid him upon the altar, took the knife in his hand. Or we can read this account quickly. Can we enter into the heart and mind of the man? His only beloved son. and God had commanded him to take that knife and to slay him. Dark providence indeed. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, his hand was stayed. A ram was caught in the thicket, and Abraham was shown that that ram was to be sacrificed instead, was to take Isaac's place. Now can we not see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? He came to be our substitute. He came to take our place, as we mentioned at the beginning. In creation, God made everything, and it was good. It was perfect, but sin entered in. It marred that which God had made. And all the troubles of this life are as a result of sin. Then what a glory, what a beauty is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. If we have that knowledge of salvation, to know that it is Jesus in the sinner's place, it is Jesus who stands in my room, place and stead. Have you come there? Have you come to the foot of Calvary's cross? Have you looked up to behold yon lovely man, to see the Lord of life and glory as he hung and suffered there? Is there not a brightness that shines through it all? A brightness that enters into the heart. A brightness which dispels all the gloom and dreariness of this life. That light affliction which is but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined into our hearts. This world can be viewed as a dark. It is a dark and dreary land. It is a gloomy place. And although that light shines forth, it shines forth in the midst of the gloom. But there is a day fast hastening on when the people of God shall come into the clear light of day. We see as in a glass darkly, but then shall we behold him face to face. We know him not, but then shall we know him as he is. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the only way that we can look to God. No man has seen the Father at any time, but we see Jesus. We see him. We know him. We love him. Oh, that that light might shine more brightly, might shine in our hearts, until that glory be fulfilled. Then shall we be forever with the Lord. May he add his blessing. Amen.